Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Training camp, 12 a days. Your chance to take home $1,000 12 times a day. Text the word terror. Terror. A weird word choice.
Dark. A little
yeah,
dark.
Like what?
Terror.
Tower of Terror.
Oh, okay.
It's dark. That was the name of my snake in college.
Terror? You had a snake in your dorm room, and he was named Terror.
And he was a 10-foot Burmese python.
I mean, you are every...
Don't say none slick, because I'm having a tough day now.
I know. I'm going to talk about your car accident here in a second. You are like an athlete. Like, if you were writing a hacky movie plot about the, you know, the rough athlete that gets to college and he's tatted up and he wants to make his impact in the small college town and he gets a snake named Terror and he defies you to mess with him.
What kind of movies do you watch? That's a terrible movie. I never watched that.
I thought you named your snake Nathaniel.
We called him Nathaniel because it's funny, but I call everything Nathaniel.
Mm.
But his name was Terror until he scared the Jamaican house cleaning lady and gave her a little heart attack, and we almost got in trouble for it. That's how I got rid of him.
So text the word Terror, T-E-R-R-O-R, to 72881, and you are registered. Text Terror to 72881 right now. If you don't win this time, your next chance, top of the next hour, 6 o'clock with Alex Dono and Fight Night. They'll give you the next code word. This is a national contest. Message and data rates may apply. Please do not text and drive. Crowder was indeed in a car accident today. He missed some of the show because he had to fill out the – he had to wait for the police to come to do the police report. Now, it was not your fault?
No. Guy tried to yoke a U-turn from the middle lane. And I was in the left lane.
You're okay?
I'm good.
Your car, though, pretty messed up?
Oh, tore my truck to pieces.
And the driver who caused the accident, he admitted it and...
got out and, oh, I'm so sorry, bloke. Oh, my goodness, I thought the phone said you turned, so I just turned. I looked that way, didn't look behind me, bloke, sorry.
And he really did keep calling you bloke.
He called me bloke. And the thing that called me down... was I was in front of him because I hit him in the side, but then I looped back around and I was pulled behind him just in case he tried to evade and I had to pursue.
I got you.
So I pulled behind him, but he's on his trunk talking and I'm on my hood talking because I'm calling. I call 911 and I call my insurance guy and all that. And I hear him talking to somebody, I guess it's in his family, and they must have asked him about who did he hit or like what situation. And I hear him say, oh no, this bloke is big as a bear. And I was like, hey.
That's me. I'm the guy as big as a bear.
Gave me some confidence because he knew not to mess with me. Mm-hmm. When these police come, mm-hmm. Don't start the I don't know what happened crap. You know what happened. You tried to yoke a U-turn from the center lane.
All right. So
what
you
yoke a U-turn.
It's
mean?
Just when it's like you can U-turn gently, but just when you just whip the wheel.
Abruptly
turn the wheel. That's called yoking.
Yoking.
Yes.
I find that so shocking that he would turn without looking to his left. If he's making a U-turn, he's bringing the car to the left. And like, I don't know what I'm missing there.
I believe, and he didn't say this, because there was no argument. He got out and said, sorry, police came there. He starts telling the police automatically, oh, yes, he was in the center, and I was in the center, and he was here. He tells them exactly what happened. I think, if you think about that road, the turnpike getting off to go to 199th right by the Hard Rock Stadium, there's those three yellow
right
lines.
It's a wide open area. Like there's no real markings. Like until it narrows down
by
into lanes,
yes.
It's wide open.
So I think those having three lanes in the middle that are all yellow kind of threw him off. And then he literally, like the voice I'm doing is his voice. He was from the UK. He lives in Quebec, but his insurance car was from United Kingdom, and the police were all worried. I got lucky because it was a rental car. So now I can call Hertz. I don't have to call Quebec. But I don't think he knew what was going on. So he literally said, hey, the phone told me to U-turn. The second it said U-turn, he just U-turned. and I was going about 40, 45, and I tore his car to pieces.
So he was meaning to go north on the turnpike. He ended up getting off to go south, so he needed to get back on the turnpike to go north.
He was coming from the Keys, trying to get to downtown Fort Lauderdale, and got off by the stadium.
Why would he do that?
Because he was confused, and he was not from here, and he didn't know how to damn drive.
Although, if the GPS tells me to go somewhere, I go.
I think that's what happened to him. And then he's frustrated. He's off the highway. They tell him to get back on the highway.
Right.
You turn now. Yeah. You turn now. Yeah. You turn now.
Yoke it.
So he yoked it right across. Bam! Tow him up. And he was about 4 foot two.
But you're okay.
Yeah, I'm you know, I'm built. I ain't made for all that. Can you hear that? I slapped my chest.
Yeah,
real hard.
Okay, oh yeah. Man stuff.
Called bass.
I retweeted a story from CNBC. I just happened to see this during the commercial break. This is so wild. You have to take 10 minutes to read it. I'm not going to waste your valuable time. I'm sensitive to your time.
And they are sensitive to your time.
I'm sensitive to your time. But it's from CNBC. The headline grabbed me. I like the movie The Martian anyway. I like Apollo 13. Like I like space movies. The headline is, if the first man on the moon had become stranded, President Nixon would have given this speech written 49 years ago. And they've printed it. This has never been public before. But they had a speech written in case those astronauts were never able to leave the moon, which was a real possibility. No one had ever landed on the moon before. They thought that they knew how to get off the moon, but
wow,
they had never put it into action. And this, just the beginning of the speech, I was like, holy moly, is that cool? It says, in the event of a moon disaster, so that's what the memo says, and President Nixon would have gone on TV. Fate, and I'm not reading you the whole thing, just the beginning, which is pretty wild. Fate has ordained that the men who went to the moon to explore in peace will stay on the moon to rest in peace. That's an unbelievable first line. That's crazy, right? I mean, this whole thing's crazy.
That's cool, though, that they were preparing for everything.
These brave men, Neil Armstrong and Edwin Aldrin, know that there is no hope for their recovery, but they also know that there is hope for mankind in their sacrifice. These two men are laying down their lives in mankind's most noble goal to search for truth and understanding. It's wild. This speech is wild. And people say that, you know, there's three people up there. One of the people, I forget what the astronaut's name is, but he didn't go on the moon with them. They were the two on the moon. And so the other person would have been able to leave. And so that's why he's mentioning two there, for those of you that remember
that
from
Buzz?
History. Buzz Aldrin, yeah. Edwin Aldrin.
Oh, Buzz's real name is Edrin?
I think so.
Yeah, I'd go with Buzz, too.
That is crazy, man. That is a great first line. Fate has ordained that the men who went to the moon to explore in peace will stay on the moon to rest in peace. And then they're still alive. These brave men, Neil Armstrong and Edwin Aldrin, know that there is no hope for their recovery, but they also know that there is hope for mankind in their service. That's wild.
Do you think they knew that this was prepared before they left?
I don't know. I would imagine that they knew there was a potential that they would never get off the moon.
It's never been done before, but don't plan it right now. I'm still looking at y'all. Wait till I'm stuck to start making plans for me to be stuck.
Now, if you want to read the whole speech, I tweeted it out, at Mark Hockman. I'm telling you, I saw that headline. I was like, whoa, that is wild. Did I give the code word this hour?
Yes, yep, terror.
All right.
Name my snake.
Oh, yeah.
Did you get in the car wreck?
Short-term memory.
Goodness gracious.
Hey, when'd you get here?
What's wrong with you?
I'm rattled by this story.
They got back, though, man.
Oh, yeah, everything worked out fine.
So you're rattled that it didn't happen?
That they were just ready for it. So what happened here? You're tweeting me, Falero, a Glenna Milberg tweet from Local 10.
Well, you know, the Beckham Moss, they visited with the City of Miami commissioners again today, and the vote went through.
Okay.
3-2 in favor of putting it on the ballot in November.
So there will be a ballot measure in November that asks the public if they are okay with the city waiving, you know, normal bidding process for that land. So
that's good.
Correct. Yeah. I mean, yeah, let the voters decide.
And in, for the 4 months, anybody that has a question, right, do your research.
Do your research. Figure it out.
Not like it's tomorrow. You got months.
I'm voting yes.
You're voting yes?
Yeah.
Because you want soccer. You love soccer.
Just because I like soccer.
What jersey, what kit are you wearing?
Right now I'm wearing the Liverpool one, Mo Salah, the alternate.
That's the alternate kit?
Yeah, because the normal kits are red.
You know why I'm voting yes? On the stadium?
Hmm.
Because of the fact that 23 acres of it is going to be put into a youth soccer facility. And those are going to be a lot of fields. You can throw some goal posts up and make a football field out of it, play soccer, play lacrosse. That golf course, 1% of South Florida plays golf, and 1% of that 1% are kids. So for them to the first tee and all that, I understand those first tee kids would be upset the golf course is gone. But think about what 23 acres of fields could do for that kids in that area that actually play sports that aren't golf. And I don't think golf's a sport. So the aggressive running, playing, kicking, hitting, catching, throwing sports, 23 acres of facilities for that. I think it makes a lot of sense to put that there instead of a golf course.
And I saw somewhere on Twitter that they're going to partner up with high school football as well to do something. So,
who wants to tell Channing he doesn't get a vote?
I'm talking about the vote on. I'm talking about the vote on the show. If somebody asked me,
can't vote. It's a Dade County.
I'm moving.
Vote. That's a.
Where's the vote? I'm moving before the vote.
That's how passionate you are about this. You're moving just to cast this vote.
Yes,
that's passion. You don't see that very often in talk radio.
I got a property in Miami.
Actually, yeah, I forgot.
See that? Mm. See, look at you. Always hating on a player.
Ian Eagle's going to join us next. Ian Eagle, one of the best voices in all of national broadcasting. I really do believe that. You have his voice on a sports broadcast. I love it. And I wanted to talk to him about Kawhi. You know, he does the play-by-play for the Brooklyn Nets. He does, you know, a ton of national NBA games, college basketball, professional football. But Ian Eagle, he can speak eloquently on Kawhi Leonard being traded to Toronto. And I do want to ask him, too, about San Antonio now with DeMar DeRozan and Lonnie Walker, our own Lonnie Walker. Because remember, Ian Eagle was doing Hurricanes tournament games. So he watched Lonnie Walker play. So,
and the Spurs got the better end of that deal, hands down.
I think the Spurs...
Now they have an all-star again, lost Tony Parker, lost Tim Duncan, and now they bring in another all-star.
The Spurs were good last season without Kawhi. He only played 8 games. They didn't have like 55 wins, somewhere around there?
Yeah, they made the playoffs.
But I'm saying like
the 7 seed, but
55, 56 wins?
I think they're in the 40 win, like the 40 marks. Like
really?
45 or something like that.
Hold on.
It was 47, I think I heard today.
Western Conference, NBA. Let's look at the standings here. Just bear with me, people. I've got a speech ready to go if I'm not
47
able to.
Wins.
Remember, I said 47. Remember?
Yeah, Crowder was right.
Okay, thanks.
Huh.
Mine, still live in Broward.
Mine came up in the East.
I
Googled Western Conference standings. I got the East.
Why wouldn't you just Google Spurs record?
Now I've got to agree to cookies. What's happening here?
47.
I wish this... This website was sensitive to my time.
And they are sensitive to your time.
All right. Ian Eagle is going to join us. We'll talk some hoops with him in the next segment.
I messed up my truck, so you know where I'm going tomorrow morning. I'm going to a South Florida Buick GMC dealer. You know I fell in love with the Buicks, and now the situation I've got myself in, I believe I'm going to go check out the Encore. My cousin heard me talking about it for months now. He went and got an Encore. I checked it out. It's beautiful. It is a sleek, athletic, compact SUV. It performs amazing. I love it. I'm going to go check it out. The technology is amazing, and the performance is great. All-wheel drive, start and stop technology, direct fuel injection, and the space you need. That performance on the road, doing what you want, but you have all the space you need. It's really the best of both worlds. Along with the technology of 4G Wi-Fi, Apple CarPlay, and Sirius XM, it's everything you need in a vehicle. And my biggest thing, having kids, and now getting in an accident today, is that safety for your peace of mind. The Encore has a 5-star safety rating, front collision alert, blind spot alert, lane departure warning, everything you need for that peace of mind on the road. Like me today, it wasn't my fault. People around you make mistakes. You can have those 5-star safety ratings, and everything there will help you out, guys. Go check out the entire lineup of Buicks. Encore LaCrosse, Enclave, Regal, Envision, they're all beautiful. You got to get out to one of your South Florida Buick GMC dealers right now. Radio.com.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like I said at the beginning of the show today, this is typically the slowest time in sports. It's why the ESPYs are tonight. The slowest time, always, but there's all this stuff going on. Malik Rozier will be the starting quarterback for the Hurricanes, according to Mark Richt. So that puts that whole quarterback battle to bed. The stadium deal, this Beckham Moss stadium deal, who knows? Hard to follow it all. Miami City Commission meetings are boring enough. And then Kawhi Leonard to Toronto and DeMar DeRozan to San Antonio changes the entire... Well, I shouldn't say it changes the East. It really doesn't. Toronto was one of the elite teams. There's three elite teams, I think. We'll ask Ian Eagle here. We'll go to the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. He is our friend. He is one of the great sports broadcasters working in America. Any NFL, NBA, college basketball game is made better when Ian Eagle is on the call. And he's on the line right now. Hello, Ian.
Hey, what's up, Hawk? How you doing, man?
Well, We obviously wanted to talk about Kawhi here. What does it mean for the East? For people that don't know, you do the Nets games in addition to the national broadcast and whatnot. But the East, so Toronto was an elite team in the East anyway, and then LeBron leaves. They're still an elite team. But now with Kawhi, your initial thought is what?
Well, my initial thought, if it's a energized and engaged Kawhi Leonard, which even despite whatever the rumors are that he doesn't want to play there, that he's not interested, I have to believe that he will fulfill his contract, go there, and put his best foot forward. They are, to me, the number one team in the East. That's how much of a shift he can make. The Boston Celtics, incredibly talented, had a tremendous season, even banged up. I want to see how all of it comes together with a healthy Kyrie Irving and Gordon Hayward. In Philadelphia, the evolution of the process, that team has a very high ceiling. But I think what we saw is Masai Ujiri rolling the dice, knowing that even without LeBron in the East, his team went about as far as they could go. They saw the issues in person, live. You can't disregard what we saw in the Cleveland series and that we've seen before with DeMar DeRozan. And I just think this was the only path to take. If Leonard doesn't work out, if he doesn't stay there, clear up some salary cap space, convince somebody else to come to Toronto, which isn't always easy. But with DeMar, putting the personal stuff aside, that he was loyal and dedicated to the franchise, to the city, to the country, it is a business. And the business of basketball is to be the best team you can be. And I think they already saw the limits with the team as it was constituted before today.
Yeah, I do think they got better, but it is a huge gamble, though, right? I mean, if he doesn't want to be there, and I understand what you're saying, he gets there, and once you get there, you're a ball player, you're going to want to play ball.
Yeah.
But he doesn't want to be there. If it's really just a one-year rental and he plays the season out begrudgingly, it's a huge gamble.
Huge. Ujiri has done this before, did this in Denver with Carmelo Anthony for pieces that turned out to be the core of a team that was exciting, never quite got to the next level, but an exciting basketball team. He takes the job in Toronto. I think he recognizes that it's not an easy sell. It's a great city, by the way. It's really one of the one of the great cities on the NBA tour, but you do have to take into account financially how it affects you and the added layer of going through customs, and your life is just a little bit different. Some guys could handle it, embraced it. Other guys could not. I have no idea what Kawhi Leonard's thought process is right now. Obviously, this was a very strange set of circumstances with San Antonio. The Spurs didn't face it prior with a stoic superstar in Tim Duncan, David Robinson prior to that, Tony Parker, who was comfortable there. This was basically the last resort. They had to go out and make a deal, and we could hear about all the speculation on the deals that were on the table. We don't know what was truly on the table. Toronto was willing to part with an all-star, no matter what you think of DeMar DeRozan. You put him in the San Antonio system where it's not all on him. LaMarcus Aldridge is shouldering some of the load. They have other pieces in place. They won 47 games last year. I understand the deal from both sides, but are you asking me, was this a big risk? Yeah, it's a big risk. You're basically saying that we're going to try to convince Kawhi Leonard that this is the place for him moving forward, and if we don't, then we're accepting the fact that we're probably going to have to rebuild.
Ian Eagle is with us. You mentioned the Spurs there, so DeMar DeRozan's there, but also you did a lot of University of Miami basketball games. Lonnie Walker was drafted by the Spurs. You think he's going to be a legit NBA player? Certainly good to be under Popovich, I would imagine.
Yeah, I think he ended up in the perfect place to develop his skills. That, to me, has been the hallmark in the NBA of a staff that knows how to take a player, figure out what they do well, try to emphasize that part of their game, and then add to their game along the way. We've seen a lot of development success stories in San Antonio, and it's not by happenstance. So I think he ended up in a great spot. I look at him. He's got an NBA body. I still need to see the game round out a bit. I saw glimpses of it with Miami, and I saw some bouts of inconsistency as well. And that's common. It's common for a lot of big-time freshmen in college basketball. But now he's a pro. It's a different mentality. You're eating, breathing, thinking basketball 24/7. It's your job. It's what's expected of you. And I can see what they saw in Lonnie Walker. To me, it's a good fit. He ends up in a really good situation. And now he also gets to learn from a DeMar DeRozan, who improved markedly, Hawk. You look at what this guy was as a rookie in the NBA and the jump he made in his second year, in his third year, continued to add to his game. He's never been a long-distance threat. Great mid-range game, one of the best in the NBA. Creative moves, slithery. I think Walker's probably a little sturdier and will probably be stronger than DeMar has been in his career, but he could learn a lot from DeMar DeRozan and that slashing style.
Ian Eagle is with us. You went to Syracuse, right?
I did. I do have a diploma. I know you said I went there. I graduated.
Graduated from there. There's so many people in sports media, especially down here, that went to Syracuse. But I wanted to ask you about Melo, and I know the Syracuse fans obviously have a soft spot there. But and being in New York, obviously you've watched Melo a ton in his NBA career. The Heat have largely been left on the sidelines this offseason. There is this remaining glimmer of possibility with Carmelo. Could a team like the Heat use the services of a 34-year-old Carmelo Anthony?
They could. He is still a player that has a little something to offer. He's not what he once was. He can't be the scorer that he once was. He doesn't have the explosiveness that he once had. He doesn't have the lift that he once had. It doesn't sound like it's a sterling report so far.
It's not the greatest report.
But I do think there would be a more expanded role for him in Miami compared to other places. I don't know where he is at mentally, if he's accepted the fact that he's going to be a bit player on a really good team or that he gets to pad the numbers on what could be a fair to middling team. And at this stage of his career, what is he chasing now? Is he chasing stats or is he chasing a potential championship? The Houston situation is interesting for a number of reasons. They were so close, as we know, with Golden State this year. The D'Antoni-Anthony dynamic, going back to the Knicks, people involved say, no, it won't be a problem. Mike D'Antoni doesn't have an issue. Carmelo won't have an issue. Well, we have to actually see that thing play out. And Carmelo at this stage, what role does he see himself in? With Miami, there would certainly be more playing time and a chance to maybe recapture a little bit of the Carmelo buzz. But if you're asking, is he the same player and he's just not a good fit in Oklahoma City, I think it was a little bit of both. He's not the same player, and it really was not a good fit at all.
Yeah,
in OKC.
We think that if he comes to Miami, Crowder and I both think that if he comes to Miami, he's the best offensive threat that they have on the roster immediately, the day that he would sign. Wouldn't you agree?
I would not fight you on that.
Yeah.
There's still offensive ability in him, scoring ability in him, isolation ability in him that's there. That just didn't work in OKC with Russell Westbrook and with Paul George. And then once the playoffs hit, I ended up calling a couple of those games in that first-round series against Salt Lake and the Utah Jazz, and he just didn't belong out there. It was a square peg into a round hole come playoff time. He didn't defend, and he was basically still a black hole. If the ball went his way, he was looking to score. He wasn't facilitating in any form. Paul George was playing at an exceptionally high level in that series. Westbrook, as we know, is a locomotive. You can't stop him. And Carmelo was a ball stopper. And in Miami, they still need a bona fide scorer. Look at the roster. What are they missing? They're missing an offensive player, a proven offensive player. But it's not the Carmelo of 2012. You're not getting the gifted scorer that once dominated the courts based on his ability to put the ball in the hoop. It's a marginalized version of him.
Our final stop as we traverse the league with Ian Eagle here, who I could talk to for hours. But LeBron goes to the Lakers. Great for the NBA?
Yeah, great for the NBA. It is, Hawk. Having been around now doing these games, it's going to be my 25th year. I am amazed at how this game has become a dominant topic throughout the year. The fact, as you said, you nailed it. This is normally one of the slowest days of the year after the All-Star game, trying to create some topics if you're doing talk radio. And the reality is the NBA is a topic every day. Their off-season has become just as intriguing as their regular season. Their postseason was tremendous, other than the finals and a couple of series along the way. And the soap opera nature of the NBA has captured people's attention. I've never seen it like this in all my years covering the sport. I think there are a number of factors involved, but one of them is the fact that LeBron James is an international star, and what he does, where he is, what he's going to do becomes topic number one. It seems like this is not just about basketball for LeBron. This is about lifestyle. This is about family. This is about his interests outside of basketball. A chance to go to L.A., a chance to rekindle that market, that franchise, a chance to add to his history. All of that is at stake. A chance to be a billionaire, which I think is also of interest to him. There's so much to this, and he instantly makes them a legitimate contender. Even with Golden State, even with Houston, his presence changes the way you view the Western Conference and certainly the way you view that team. He's that good, he's that gifted, and he has that big of an impact on the market he goes in and the teammates around him.
But with the roster that's currently constructed in L.A., you still think that they, what, are a top-four team in the West?
Yes, I think they're a top-four team, and I don't think the roster is currently constructed as necessarily the one that they'll have
right. Come
March and April. As we've shown through the years with the trades that have been made by teams that have LeBron, they'll tinker. And he's okay with it. And he nearly rode that team all the way, a team that was completely revamped at the trade deadline. It just shows you how gifted he is and the level of play that he raises based on his presence. But yes, if you're asking me, are they a top four team even as currently put together? My answer would be yes.
Yeah, pretty much. I think anytime LeBron's on your team, I don't care how it's constructed, you're going to be a top four team, whatever conference you're in.
Yeah, you saw it firsthand. Yeah. You lived it.
Yeah, that we did. Ian Eagle, I mean, truly one of the greatest broadcasters of our time. All right, let's take a quick break here. We'll come right back after this.
Radio.com. Radio.
is so great. Love talking to him.
He's smart.
He's a smart dude.
And his son's in doing it now,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. Now, I know Chris Whittingham is on the line. He was at this Miami City Commission meeting today. I'm seeing that Jorge Mas, one of the owners, Jorge Mas and David Beckham, he has tweeted just 7 minutes ago, "Thank you, Miami Mayor and City of Miami Commission, for their support today in allowing Miami residents to decide this November if they share our vision for Freedom Park. Thank you also to our supporters. Together we will make our community proud." And then he hashtags Football Miami MLS. So Chris Whittingham, who has never met a city commission meeting that he didn't like, he just loves them.
That's his hobby?
I think so, yeah.
Goes to city commission meetings?
Yeah, you know, the way that I'll go to, say, a track or a sports book. Whittingham goes to the city commission meetings. It doesn't even matter if he lives in the city or has vested interest in anything. He just loves it.
He needs to find another hobby.
Oh, you don't think that's cool?
I've asked him to go fishing. He's blown me off many times.
Chris Whittingham is our soccer expert. He is the 560 WQAM soccer expert. He's on the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Hello, Whittingham.
Many times. I blew Crowder off once.
That's many times to me, Chris. I'm very sensitive.
He's got a very very strict set of parameters on what many is.
I am to city commission meetings what you are to food courts.
Yes. Oh, do I love a food court. I said, didn't I tell you, like, I think it was last week, Crowder, that my dream job is to, you know how we talked with Tom DeAngelo today, Whittingham, and you know how the Palm Beach Post has done away with a beat reporter for the Miami Heat. If there was a beat reporter for food courts, that's my dream job, where it's just like, oh, Hockman, we're going to need you at Sawgrass today and see what's going on at Arthur Treacher's. And I would be there, and I would love it. That's my dream job, beat reporter for food courts. Unfortunately, it doesn't exist.
So, like, niche food critic is what you're going for?
I don't know. Do you consider a food court to be niche? I don't. I consider it to be widespread and beloved by many.
I feel like the food critic is meant to analyze all of the food scene. So the one specific area within the food scene,
I gotcha,
is the food court.
I got you. All right. In that case, it is niche food reporting. I also don't like people that say niche and not niche.
I don't like either one of those.
Yeah. Niche. So what happened? This Miami City Commission meeting, so they were supposed to vote last week. They didn't. They ended up adjourning without voting. So today they voted. So that means what? In November, there will be a ballot referendum that asks Miami voters what?
So there will be a ballot referendum that will ask them if they want the Mel Reese Golf Course to be redeveloped into this public park. And basically what would have to happen then, what public park, including a stadium, so it's not really a public park, it is sort of in and of itself, but it would sort of now be incumbent upon the city commissioners to then further negotiate the deal, to really lock down the details. And then even after the referendum, there has to be a 4/5 vote of the commission approving the plan. So going forward, there's still a lot more work yet to do, but starting in November, there will be a ballot that says that there will be a stadium where currently sits the Mel Reese Golf Course.
And Chris, is there any way, like every time I talk about it, I'm behind it, even though I found out I can't get a vote today, but I'm behind it. I think it's a good idea, and I'd really like the 23 acres of the youth soccer facility, because I think you can use those fields for a bunch of stuff. Is there any way they can dupe us? Is there any way they can say, oh, yeah, we're putting this 23-acre kids facility in and just not do it?
No, I would imagine that all the details, because there were tons of details that were offered today. One of them was that the facility should also host the odd high school football game, given that, according to the commissioners, there actually is not a major high school football stadium within the city limits of Miami. So that was suggested. But I would imagine now, it's possible that there were some empty promises, and it did seem like whatever was put in front of Jorge Mas, he said yes to, and that kind of goes into the leverage of all this. This group does not have a ton of leverage because Jorge Mas told the Miami Herald that he has to have a shovel in the ground by October of 2019. And so what a lot of sort of cold businessmen, they'd want to negotiate some of the things that were presented to him. He seemed to be rubber stamped yes to all ideas. So I would imagine he's going to be held to a lot of his ideas. And I think one of the main reasons why that the soccer field element is going to carry on is because it's basically a different way of using a parking garage. So that actually is above. It's almost like they're calling it a soccer deck. It's going to be something that you climb up to, and underneath it are the 3,700 some odd parking spaces. So it is above the parking where these soccer fields are going to be. So I'd imagine everything that is part of their proposed plan, I would imagine, will have to be ready upon occupancy, because that's one of the things that the city commission has talked about, is we're not going to let you occupy the stadium until you deliver on all these things.
What a great idea. Now, if they would make that deck a food court, you'd have
goodness
my vote.
Gracious.
A soccer field is fine.
Damn,
I mean, for
food court.
It doesn't matter. Some people
Orange
like a food
Julius
court.
Soccer deck?
Yeah, Orange Julius soccer deck. There you go. You play a little soccer, get yourself a frothy Orange Julius when you're done. All right.
Frothy.
So, Chris Whittingham, because we're running up against the end of the program here. So, this is a good day for MLS fans in Miami?
I was just walking out of the building, and it's never felt more real to me. Even when they've had these, these announcements where they're announcing that they're announcing something, even then you're like, okay, maybe. But now we have a stadium a third of the way into being in place. And Jorge Mas said afterwards, he started talking about legitimate soccer details. He said they're going to hire a general manager soon. They're going to announce name, colors, and all that stuff soon. They're, actually going to start to build out the soccer elements of this team. And once he kind of mentions, oh yeah, we're thinking about playing either in Hard Rock Stadium or Marlins Park for a 2020 season. They want to come to the league in 2020 and then move into the new building in 2021. All these kind of details that are actually soccer related rather than politics related are what get me fired up. And now we're going to be on to that conversation pretty soon.
All right, Chris Whittingham. Follow him on Twitter at Chris Whittingham or Pitch Invasion 5R. Check out his podcast as well, called Pitch Invasion. Covers soccer and the potential of MLS in Miami and all that hoo-ha.
Hey, Whitty, you ever take a date to those big-time commission meetings?
I'll tell you what, Crowder, it's a great night out. It's super fun. We go up holding hands for the public comment section so we can weigh in on zoning matters. It's a great deal of fun.
Do you not not like a food court? Like you almost talk about it derisively. Like, do you not like a food court?
I mean, I don't have any objections to food courts. I don't go to them very often. I find that, like, for the most part, they're all the same. Right, it's mostly
Bingo.
The same places.
Well, you should check out my beat report.
Food.
You would see that it's not the same. That's why it needs a beat reporter. It's so different.
But you'd run out of malls after a while.
I don't think so. I mean, they're popping up like what pops up?
Pimples.
There's only a certain number of Häagen-Dazs you can go and. You can go to in one's life before they all kind of become the
same. All right, stick to soccer, because, I mean, this just sounds uninformed. Chris Whittingham. Thanks, Whitty.
No problem at all.
All right.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.